Hello, Fungies! Welcome back to Fungible Times, where we interview builders at the forefront of Web3. Our guest today is Beryl Lee. Thank you, Beryl, co-founder of Yield Guild Games, also known as YGG. YGG is a play-to-earn gaming guild and a decentralized autonomous organization, also called a DAO. We're going to get into both those topics, gaming guilds and DAOs, today. YGG acquires blockchain gaming assets, increasing access to these games for players around the world, many of which are earning real income by playing these games. So a little bit about YGG. It was founded in November 2020. Today, YGG is responsible for 21,000 scholars, which is what they call their players. They account for 27,000 scholars across their sub-DAOs, which is their regional expansion strategy. You know, YGG actually released their token last July. That token sale broke records, selling 25 million tokens in 30 seconds. Today, the fully diluted token market cap of the YGG network is $2.5 billion, and they have assets across multiple games, including Axie Infinity, which many of us know as the leading play-to-earn game in crypto, but also upcoming games we're very excited about, such as Star Atlas, Alluvium, Zed Run, Splinterlands, Sandbox, and a couple new games, which we're going to get into today, called Cyball and Fancy Birds. So we'll get into the whole play-to-earn gaming ecosystem, some of the names that they've backed so far, and some of the ones that they're excited by. But very excited to have you, Beryl. Welcome to Fungible Times. We can't wait to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, hi guys. Great to be here.
So Beryl, you have an amazing story, and YGG has such a huge economic impact now. Can you just talk a little bit about how you got into crypto and NFTs?
So I got into crypto in late 2013 when I was actually looking at Bitcoin as an infrastructure to move funds. So it was in 2014 that I joined Coins.ph as a founding team member. And I was looking into remittances just because the Philippines, one of the biggest drivers of our GDP is actually remittances. And so we looked into building an app. We were actually the first cryptocurrency exchange in the Philippines called Coins.ph. That was soon acquired by Gojek. And then I started looking into asset tokenization. So whether I was structuring debentures, other assets such as real estate tokens, and then eventually started consulting for financial institutions like Union Bank of the Philippines.
Yeah, I was saying that's really interesting about your background coming into this, because I feel like Yield Guild Games is introducing, and play to earn gaming in general is introducing, DeFi concepts and a lot of these financial concepts to the world of gaming. Was there a specific red pill moment that you had when you kind of had an eye-opening moment and decided to start Yield Guild Games?
So firstly, I met my co-founders when we were actually yield farming. So it was actually sometime in August of 2020 when a lot of these DeFi platforms and protocols started like launching, and we started like trying all these platforms from Avic, Compound, Sushi, Uniswap, and we were really thrilled that there is a bit of like infrastructure in DeFi. And then it was just that moment when we thought about how does yield farming look like in gaming. And this is when we actually started combining Gabby's expertise in games, particularly, and then my background in fintech and blockchain. We combined that, and what came out is actually Yield Guild Games.
Well, thank you for providing that kind of context on yourself and the beginning of Yield Guild Games. We're going to kick off the first section of our podcast, which is called Explain to Me Like I'm Five, where we're going to go over some more general concepts so the audience has a deeper understanding of what Yield Guild Games is, what we mean when we say play-to-earn gaming, some of these definitions. So for first, let's actually break down some of these definitions. What is play-to-earn gaming?
So play-to-earn gaming is playing a particular game, and when you play a game, you actually earn in-game rewards. So a really good example I could think of is Axie Infinity, where you actually enter a game with three axes or NFTs, right? Non-fungible tokens. And then you actually battle with these axes, and when you actually win, you earn in-game rewards called Smooth Love Potion. SLPs, or Smooth Love Potions, are in the form of a cryptocurrency where you can actually convert them into fiat.
Smooth Love Potion. I love the naming there. Axie Infinity is a great example to focus on for the first game to highlight. It's really, I would say, the game that is most well known in the industry for leading the charge with play-to-earn gaming. Maybe you can unpack and tell the story around that a little bit. Like, why did it blow up in the Philippines specifically? What do you think made it so successful? And kind of like maybe give us the history of just what has gone on with Axie Infinity and your role in helping that player economy.
Yeah, so there are a number of factors that came to play here. So one is, of course, there's like a small community with Axie Infinity that started in the Philippines, and the scholarship model was never new. There were scholars that were actually like borrowing some assets just because they're not able to afford the Axies. They used to cost about like $25 for Axie, and you needed three, and that has increased in price. In a short span of time. So you could actually purchase a team of Axies for $150. So a lot of people in the Philippines are unable to afford it, especially during lockdowns and during the pandemic when a lot of people have actually like lost jobs. Because of the lockdowns, a lot of people were just staying at home. But with internet connectivity and their mobile phones, they're able to download a game and able to borrow these Axies. As a form of like an uncollateralized loan. So they borrow these axes and then they actually share this profit whenever they actually, so it's like shared revenue, shared profit model, whenever they actually earn these smooth love potions or in-game rewards, they share it with their manager. And this is how it flourished. They started at home circulating these mobile phones among family members, and then you have like the grandma playing during the day, and then at night it's the mom or the father, and then the kid starts playing. And yeah, so they play maybe a total of 8 hours per device or even more. And their neighbors are actually really surprised, like, how are you able to afford like putting food on the table without the job and milk for your kids? And that's how it actually blew up in a place called Cabanatuan City. And yeah, the entire neighborhood started getting into Axie Infinity, started playing. And that's how this province or outskirts of the Philippines have actually like survived during the pandemic. And yeah, it blew up word of mouth.
Yeah, for the listeners that are, want to learn more, there's an incredible documentary called the Play to Earn documentary, which is all about Axie Infinity, and it really films what it was like in the Philippines. For me, it really helped, helped me visualize just like materially what it looked like for people that were playing and the reality of how it was actually helping people pay the bills, especially in the face of the pandemic when a lot of the, economy from tourism was definitely affected and just sort of like the reality of like how playing a game can actually make ends meet and like make, a huge impact on someone's day-to-day real life. So definitely recommend that watch for our listeners. Beryl, you're using some terminology like scholarships and yield and rentals, and I think some people might not be familiar with like what does it mean to rent a gaming asset or NFT? What is a scholarship? Maybe you could kind of describe like what are the benefits if I own a gaming asset, if I were to rent it out, and what are the motives if I'm a scholar and I'm trying to apply for a scholarship, and kind of what does that even mean, some of this terminology in the context of play to earn gaming?
Yeah, so there are two parties here. One is the one lending the asset, who owns the actual asset, and they lend it to the borrowers, right? And the borrowers, we call them scholars because we don't ask for the lenders don't ask for any collateral at all, just because within Axie, the ones who are lending their assets actually control the keys of this wallet, right? And the ones that they actually kind of give to the lender or the player or the scholar is actually just the password and username, so they're able to play without taking the assets out. And so when they start earning the in-game rewards that's actually deposited within these accounts or the wallet, the only person that they actually can is able to really remove it is the manager or the lender themselves. So it's a bi-party, which is the one that's lending out, we call them managers in this instance, and then the ones borrowing, and we call that a scholarship model.
That's really helpful context. Thank you. Last question I have before we do our deeper dive section is, this concept of bringing financial services to players around the world. I think it's interesting. I call this banking the unbanked, a phrase that some people might be familiar with, but just the concept that gaming or crypto can be a vector for introducing financial services like wallets, like digital assets to users that might not have had it before. How do you feel about this? And, how do you think that YGG is bringing financial services to those that need it most or those that might not have had exposure to it before?
I think it's very interesting just because the concept of play to earn is for a lot of these players or users to look at an alternative way to make ends meet, which is another source of income, right? And because they have that level of income, they're now able to to farm these tokens or to actually purchase items. They're able to increase their savings rate. They're able to to be able, so they actually end up like deciding what they want to do with their financials or their finance. Other financial services on top of this would be a savings account, right? And a savings account, other forms of uncollateralized loans. So because a lot of these gaming accounts have, so whenever a player actually plays, there are a couple of vectors that could actually be seen, right? So one is how many hours a player actually spends playing a game. What are the games that the player kind of like plays? What is the skill or level of a player in terms of like playing, right? To actually know the in-game rewards that they actually earn on a monthly basis. And because of that, this could actually be kind of like a credit rating for other agencies or financial institutions to kind of lend based out of that information. So there's so many things that can actually be built on top of that basic income level.
Yep, that's fabulous context. So it's great. Now I feel like our users have an overview of what Yield Guild Games is and what some of this terminology is. I'm going to pass it to Sarah to go into the next section and we can get into more detail.
Beryl, amazing, amazing story for YGG. I think if we zoom out for a second, I feel like that's one more concept where, someone from outside crypto might not understand, like, why are the players like valuable to all of these gaming economies anyway, right? So I think one of the core questions you might ask is like, where are the economics coming from, or why does a game like Axie Infinity or Star Atlas or any of your partners care that there are people playing these games, and how are they able to pay out? Can you talk a little bit about that?
That's a really good question. I think like with any application or any kind of like business, right? It's really important to actually have consumers, because it actually shows demand on a particular like gameplay. So the more players that you have on a particular game, that kind of like proves that that the game is really valuable, that people really like playing the game, people are spending time, their resources. So there are different models here. One is the hours that players spend in a game, right? And then the second one is how much is there a way to monetize out of that time that players are spending within that game? And then another layer would be, are players actually investing into the game? So for example, buying in-game assets, right? And then the hours are actually converted to in-game rewards. Are there people earning that in-game rewards and then converting it, right? And then the velocity of the tokens actually come into play.
It's really interesting. Sometimes, like looking at gaming economies, I think of it as like there are spouts, right? Or like faucets. There are ways in which like the game itself is paying out to players. And there are like drains or different ways where you can have players pay into the game. And I think one of the things that's like so interesting about these economies is that like companies like YGG and more broadly the crypto ecosystem, it makes these economies interconnected. Right. So it's not like Axie is like living on its own with its players and needs to figure out like the perfect balance of how to, you know, incentivize people to join and spend time and play the game, and then also like monetize them like just enough. I think like, you know, there can be different mixes of players that like you're incentivizing within Axie to spend time, and then also players that, you know, come in and bring assets from other ecosystems and then like spend actually within Axie. And I think that's really interesting in terms of the interconnectedness. But thank you for explaining that. Okay, so, you know, more for our like sort of deeper into crypto audience, our second section is doing our own research and digging in a little bit more into like your company's unique model and some of the things you've innovated on. If I am in that province that you mentioned in the Philippines, like how do I become a scholar or a manager? Can I just sign up? And like, how does that system work? Because you're now coordinating tens of thousands of people.
So with the Yield Guild Games model, it's about like getting into our Discord channel and then looking for the Axie Infinity channel. So we do have a number of games there. We probably have like 30 or 40 games listed. And then you just have to look for Axie Infinity. And then there's like a section where you just have to look for scholarships. So if you're looking for a scholarship, you can just kind of like send a message and say that you're really interested in scholarship. And yeah, so a manager actually ends up like picking that player, and then we actually match assets with the scholar.
Got it. So it actually operates in a very decentralized peer-to-peer way today.
Right now, yes, on Discord.
Awesome. And how do managers choose a scholar, right? Are they vetting in some way? What makes somebody more attractive as a scholar?
Yeah, so like right now, to be honest, it's just very ad hoc. It's very random. It's first come, first serve. Sometimes the manager actually ends up like picking a player just because another player probably recommended that player, right? So that's how they get like selected within Discord. But in the long term, I think we'll be actually a little bit more, you know, kind of like more scientific in terms of like choosing the player. So we'll probably be doing like a handout where we kind of like educate them what play to earn is and, you know, how to maximize your earnings. And then, we'll match our assets with those that we believe would actually have like a more like success in terms of receiving in-game rewards.
Right. You were just talking about like, you know, some of the data that one actually has on people that are playing within games. And, you know, you could use that data to help match or sort different types of scholars or other companies could. Super interesting. It's just amazing the coordination you can have, you know, at mass scale on the internet and Discord today. YGG started around Axie Infinity. You are building up a large portfolio of blockchain gaming assets today. Can you talk a little bit about that strategy or why you're diversifying?
So Axie Infinity is actually the first play-to-earn game that has actually like proven that there is a niche community that really wants to spend time earning rewards by playing games, right? And we're seeing a number of games that are trying to follow Axie suit, looking into different tokenomics models. I think it's really important to kind of like match different genres with players, just because players have different like interests. You might actually have, you know, MMORPG kind of like games, fantasy, or kind of like strategic games. A lot of like players would be very specific with what they want. And I think it's really important for us to diversify. And so like right now, our strategy is really diversifying. We've invested in 47 games right now. And second or third quarter of 2022, a number of them are actually launching. So we'll find out which of these games the community really, really likes.
Yeah, and super interesting. So I think some of our listeners may not understand that YGG also really has an investing arm, and it's tied to my second question. Can you talk a little bit about the YGG token and why you decided to do that, and then what the token is for?
Yeah, so when we actually launched Dama, we've decided that YGG should be a decentralized autonomous organization. We'd like to involve our community, the actual players who are playing, to make decisions within this DAO. And so we've printed like a billion tokens, a fixed number of tokens in supply. And we decided to give out 45%, which is allocated to the community. And we've designed the distribution to be over 10 to 13 years, so very, very much like long term. And we are looking into structuring various like programs. So one of the programs would be, for example, the level up system, where the more time that you probably spend in a particular game, the more YGG token rewards you actually receive. So we're looking into YGG as incentives for the community, based on, the level of work that they kind of like provide within the community. We're also giving them away to contributors, for example, those that are moderating our Discord channel. So as of the moment, so the decision is very much like, okay, the founders, and then it kind of like became a lot bigger because we started with, 10 members, and then now we're like 35 members right now. And then we started having like investors coming in. We had a private round, and they're starting to vest their like their tokens. So the more that they vest, they get to distribute it eventually within the community. And so we believe that in 10 to 13 years, the tokens are going to be distributed widely across the network. It's slowly, but it actually gives us time to really communicate the vision of the DAO, to really establish how the governance should actually look like, the subcommittees, all of that governance.
Yeah, it's really a like a pioneering organization. I remember a while back when you told me that there were still only full-time like 15 members of YGG, the organization, helping to coordinate 27,000 scholars and growing. I thought it was just like an extraordinary example of like, how you actually can have this, thoughtful but organic, decentralized like coordination between people in a DAO format. Especially if you have like a healthy token system for incentives to drive action across the community. So that's really cool. When you think about investing in different gaming companies, you mentioned 47 investments to date. Good luck to your portfolio companies launching this year. How do you decide what's interesting? Like, are there certain trends within the gaming system, ecosystem that you're excited about? Does the community, have input already on this or bring ideas to the team?
Okay, so we actually have an asset acquisition team right now. There are about like five of them. They're growing really fast. So we establish those partnerships. We actually advise as well some of these games, and those that actually pass their due diligence like criteria. And we do have like a methodology as well, believing which games we believe that our community would most likely want to play with. We list them within our Discord, and then the more responses about the game, the idea of a game, the genre, and then based on that, we actually invest, we buy these NFT assets. And some of them, most of them have not launched. We'll be seeing them in the market probably third quarter of 2022. And based on that, we'll see which of these NFT assets will end up like breeding more, and which ones we might have to purchase in the open market, right? Just to be able to meet the needs of our community.
Got it. Great. So this is actually also not just an investment for you, but it's a vehicle to enable, scholars as you're lending them out.
Yes. So one of the largest so the criteria that we have is we only invest in assets that our community would actually use.
Can you talk a little bit about just how, like, you guys were pioneers here, but now there are other gaming guilds, there is Breeder DAO, there's metaverse real estate developers, there's different people sort of participating in this gaming economy. Just what you think is interesting here, and if you're collaborators with anybody else.
Yeah, so what's really interesting is so the first game, like Axie Infinity, has actually shown us that this is actually an economy within the metaverse. Like Axie Infinity is an economy. And we see the success of Axie based on the various kind of roles that it has actually developed and established over time. So like you mentioned, there are people who become like brokers in the metaverse just because they're buying and selling land, right? And then you actually develop, like first they become players, then they eventually become like managers. And they start like graduating within the ladder, right? And they become like a bigger manager, which is like a mini guild, right? And yeah, so there's a proliferation of various roles within this gaming economy. What is really interesting is seeing interoperability of these assets across various games and really tying all these economy into like one big metaverse, right? So it's the same concept as like globalization in today's world. So it's something that I really look forward seeing in the metaverse.
Yeah, I can see from like that's a really interesting perspective to take on it, which is like, if I believe there's going to be this new enabled economy and with like these, sub economies such as Axie within it, then in an economy, I actually want like lots of other participants from like the sort of entry level individual who becomes a scholar and like is increasing income over time to managers or mega managers or like guilds or other economic
Or guilds.
participants because they make the economy more robust, right? Like they're people that you could trade or coordinate with or like even just providing liquidity to the ecosystem. I think that's a really like a really positive sum view. I think one of the most standout attributes of YGG is just its like super strong community. You're obviously really community oriented. It's something you've talked about already. What's been your approach to overall building and interacting with the community?
So it's really important to develop tools. Right now, we highly rely on Discord channel. Discord, we have decided to actually. So we want to expand more than what we actually have within our Discord. And to be able to do that, we have termed like the terminology of sub-DAOs. So these are kind of like regional managers or country managers, but they really focus on a particular region. So for example, we have NDGG, so these are run by our partners like the Polygon guys, and this regional manager, country manager, like NDGG is independent because it is also structured as a DAO. It has its own tokens. It has its own tokenomics as well to be able to incentivize communities within India. And their focus is really acquiring or helping community members, like onboarding them. Within the provinces of like India. And we as like YGG were able to really focus on asset acquisition and being able to really match these assets with the for example the community within within India. But that is through the sub-DAO model.
Yeah, that's a really interesting coordination idea, just in terms of, I mean, you guys are amongst the largest DAOs in the world now. And I think one criticism has been like, how can you coordinate, this many people without more centralized, structured leadership? And so taking this step of just like separating out, components of communities that have different incentives and being like clear about that is like a really interesting innovation. So since you mentioned NDGG, like how are you guys thinking about geographic expansion? Obviously you've gone beyond the Philippines. Maybe you can sort of talk to us about where you have expanded already and where you want to go.
Yeah, so you can actually think of Yield Guild Games as a guild of guilds where we actually support other DAOs or other guilds, and there are sub DAOs that are kind of like formed within like YGG. Like for example, we have Southeast Asia C C YGG YGGC, and then we have NDGG for India market, and then we have now Ola GG, which is for LATAM, and then we have Brazil right now, and then we started like through our partnerships with to expand in the MENA region as well as Africa. We're now working with one of our like early investors to establish South Asia sub DAO as well. And within those sub-DAOs, we're going to be seeing a number of managers within these sub-DAOs, and each of these managers will have their own like group of scholars, right? So there's going to be like a trickle effect, and it's through establishing all these bubbles around YGG where we could actually like trust these sub-DAOs to be independent and make their own decisions, right? From YGG. We're here to kind of like guide and advise a lot of these like sub-DAOs and sub-guilds. So as an example, we've partnered with BreederDAO, for example. We've also partnered with Merit Circle, and we're here to actually kind of like help them, through like our learnings and lend some of our assets, for example, with these sub-DAOs that I've just like mentioned. So we're unable to really like like control everything, the entire network, as like YG on its own, especially that we want to remain, kind of like lean as a team, right? And really like focus on like our assets, build technology, and we need to slowly like rely on our regional managers and country managers, right? And managers as well. So that's the concept of sub DAOs and the sub guilds that we're kind of forming right now at the Yieldco Games.
It's really interesting thinking of YGG becoming more of a sort of an umbrella organization and then like really a financial institution, right? If you say you're focused on your focus on like asset acquisition and lending, do you imagine that you guys would want to like you already have this vector of geographic growth and there's tooling for the community, then there's fancy birds and Cyball and more games. Do you imagine you'd build like more products around like lending or secondary marketplace or anything like that?
So this is something that we've been, right now we're growing our product team as we speak. We've just hired, our product, like our chief of product right now. So we're looking into really like building our internal technology team. We really want to support our sub-DAOs. So we actually see the same challenges that they face with YGG, right? We need a lot of automation. So we're now thinking about building product and being able to really support all the sub-DAOs and the sub-guilds with our tooling system and in our product.
Right. Yeah. I remember we had a conversation, even just about some of the unique challenges you guys face in terms of, for example, like compensating contributors, right, at the scale that you guys have. And so I imagine that you see lots of unique challenges that you could build product around. So I mean, the entire macro environment has been like up and down, and also obviously is affecting crypto as well. Does that change how you guys operate at all? I mean, all of your scholars and managers, they live in the interconnected economy. Like, how does that change your strategy in any way?
So like you mean to say the growth if our child if our strategy is changing based on the growth that YGG is facing?
Yeah, I just mean like, if the overall like global equities markets are down due to interest rate changes and geopolitical conflict, and that affects crypto, do you guys as a team react to that in any way?
So right now, I mean, it's a bear market in crypto right now, and we know that there's the Ukraine and Russia war that's happening. So there's definitely systematic risk, which has affected equities and crypto in general as well. If we actually look at the index of a lot of these metaverse assets, they kind of follow Bitcoin and Ethereum's like price movements. There's much more volatility than if you look at the standard deviation or the variance of metaverse tokens versus the more established tokens in crypto, which is like Bitcoin and Ether. They still move together, but then they're more volatile.
But that doesn't change how you work with, your users or like, your sub-DAOs or game partners or anything.
Oh no. So within operations, it doesn't really like affect us operationally. But then if you ask about YGG prices, Yes, it definitely has an impact on our token price.
Okay, so you said the word metaverse a few times. Like, what does that mean to you when you say you described like an interconnected economy that we're all part of? I think a lot of people think of it more of a like an experience thing. So help me understand like your version of it.
So I see the metaverse as another horizon that's not physical, right? And there's so many concepts of the metaverse. It's like many metaverses or like one big metaverse with many economies, right? So there's so many ways to really like define what is a metaverse or what is metaverses, or is there like a megaverse with a few like metaverses. So so I actually see it as another kind of like another kind of like horizon, right? That's like beyond the physical.
Yeah, well, and especially if people are spending, if that's where their real world like financial assets are coming from, their fiat financial assets, and that's where they're spending 8 hours a day, feels very real, right? Christine, did you have other questions for our deep dive while we're still doing research,
Sure.
or should I hand it back to you for some wrap up?
I think this has been amazing. Thanks so much, Beryl. Let's get into the wrap up. Great. So for our final section, we'll just do a fun wrap up, rapid fire style. So just quick one sentence answers for these. So for the first one, you have a cute avatar right now on your Twitter profile. It's always fun to talk about like what your profile picture means or like what your avatar is. So what's up with your Twitter PFP?
Oh, so that's definitely just me. I use an app, and I'm a really big fan of Disney. So yeah, so it's pretty cool.
Disney, what Beryl looks like in the Disney movies. Go check it out. What is your favorite game, either in the Yield Guild portfolio or not?
So when I was a kid, I used to play a lot of like Street Fighter, Mario, as well as like Sonic, right? Like the You say like a the hedgehog. I would say porcupine, but yeah, hedgehog. So yeah, I used to play a lot of those games, very much like consoles.
Yeah, same. I was personally like a Sims, like Lemonade Tycoon, those like city simulation business building games. I don't know. I feel like our early childhood games says a lot about us. But
I was also into Sims, some like missed civilization, like nerdy PC games.
okay, last question before we finally wrap up and say our goodbyes is you're on the conference circuit, on the meetup circuit. We were kind of talking before this call. You're in Lisbon now, headed to Amsterdam next. What has been your favorite meetup or conference so far?
Ooh, that is I really love all the conferences I've been to. They're very, very different. The last one I've been to was the one in DICE, Las Vegas. That was very interesting. I was one of the speakers, and I really enjoyed the Sari NFT New York City. I think like after the lockdown, that trip to New York and San Francisco was kind of like really amazing, just because, like Gabby and I, we haven't like we hardly like met each other, and then suddenly our trip to New York, which was we kind of like timed it during like Messari, a lot of my team members went. Gabby was there. I saw him more in New York than in the Philippines.
I have the same stories where I think there are people that I've been collaborating with and working with where I just meet up with them at these conferences and otherwise have no real other in-person interaction as a baseline. It's the new normal. But yeah, that's great. Thank you so much. This is all for our questions. This is a fun little wrap-up for us. But yeah, thank you so much, Beryl, for coming on. It was great to hear your story, learn more about Yield Guild games and everything we have to look forward to in Playdarn and gaming.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, everyone.
It's 5:50 something, and I feel so empty inside. The sun is going.